to Jeremiah chapter 18. And I've preached this, but I've never preached this thought before. And I want to share it with you with the help of the Lord. Amen. I told Brother Mike if we'd just have church, it'd be all right with me. And I don't mean this church that we have today. We can sing a few songs and preach 30, 40 minutes, however long the Lord leads, and go home unchanged. But that's not what church ought to be. Amen. It ought to be a place where we can get what we need. And I know we say that a lot. Folks just say, well, we'll get what we need. But I tell you what, if you had the battle that Paul spoke of, the battle between the spirit and the flesh, amen, you know you need help. Amen. Praise God. It doesn't matter how much and how far. Here's the problem I see. Amen. I see folks that it seems like that we've come to a place where we are self-satisfied and self-sufficient. We got to a place where our value, we feel like we're very valuable. I remember when I got saved, I didn't feel very valuable. Amen. I remember, and there's been times that God has helped us and used us and blessed us, and we've shouted and we've danced. Amen. But I tell you what, it doesn't lift me up in pride. Amen. It just makes me know, amen, that I'm still not very valuable. Amen. I know the Lord looks down on us, and amen, folks like to say, hey, I'm a child of God. I'm saved. I'm blown to a hole in this church, and you know, and this and that, and all the positives that we have. I'll tell you, we need to get back to the place that we lay broken, amen, broken and prostrate, amen, before a holy and a righteous God. And I'll tell you, brother, when you get to thinking about how holy He is and how righteous He is and how good He is, amen, there is no place for pride. There is no place for us to exalt ourselves in the presence of a living and a holy God. You'll never be able to exalt yourself when you realize who He is. You can never exalt yourself. You can never, ever get yourself to a place, man, that I'm Mr. Somebody. Amen. I'll tell you, I'm so glad the Lord's never let me feel that. Amen. Somebody, my wife used to tell me when I was preaching, she said, don't put on yourself so much. Don't be talking down about yourself and so negative toward yourself. But I'm going to tell you, there's times, amen, that I just don't feel worthy to be saved. I know that God saved me. I know I'm saved. I can lay my head down on the pillow and know I've been born again, washed in His blood. But there are times, brother, when I think of how I lived, I think of the things that I've done. Amen. I don't feel so worthy. I don't feel so exalted. I don't feel so self-sufficient. I think about how God reached out in the gutters of sin, got a hold of my heart, changed my life, filled me with His sweet spirit. And brother, I tell you, there is no place for pride. I'll not be able to exalt myself. Amen, brother. May I tell you that the Bible said we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency may not be of us, but that might be of Him. Brother, we're holy tonight because He is holy. We are righteous because He is righteous. Amen. Because He is good. It's the reason we're blessed.
Come on,
man. I say, there's a fellow at work that is full of himself. If we're not careful as church folks, the devil will make us full of ourselves. Woo, some of you looking at me funny. Amen. I'm telling you, He'll make us full of ourselves. Amen. I'm telling you, you come to God, you gotta come empty. Amen. You'll either come empty or you'll be full of Jesus. Amen. You won't come to God full of yourself. You won't get in the presence of God full of yourself. Amen, brother. The only thing you'll recognize is the blood or an empty, crushed vessel. Amen. Laying at the feet of Jesus. Amen. Begging for mercy and grace. Amen, brother. He'll never accept a man that comes in his own power, in his own righteousness, in his own goodness. But thanks be unto God tonight, because of the blood of Calvary, I can come in the presence of God because He is holy. I can be holy because He is righteous and good. I can be righteous. Ooh, help me, Jesus. Man, I don't know if I've even mentioned it, but I'm talking. I want to preach on some broken things. We need to be broken. We need to be broken. The book of Jeremiah, chapter number 18. Can read to verse 1. The Bible said, "The word which came to Jeremiah from the Lord, saying, Arise and go down to the potter's house. And there I will cause thee to hear my words. And then I shall sit." I went down to the potter's house, and behold, he wrought a work on the wheels. And the vessel that he made of clay was marred in the potter's hand, in the hands of the potter. So he made it again, another vessel, as seemeth good to the potter to make it. And then the word of the Lord came to me, saying, "O house of Israel, cannot I do with you as this potter? Saith the Lord, behold, as the clay is in the potter's hands, so are ye in my hand, O house of Israel." I looked at this scripture in verse number 4. And I preached from this scripture and preached a message on the master craftsman. But it seemed like the Lord directed me some months back. And I haven't preached this message. The Lord directed me to a different thought. And I looked at verse number 4, where the Bible said that he made, and the vessel that he made of clay was marred in the potter's hands. Amen. That word "mar" there means to be ruined. Amen. It means to be ruined or destroyed or to be scarred. And I thought so many times, you know, when we come to the Lord, amen, the Lord won't be looking for our medals and our trophies, but God will be looking for our scars. Amen. God will be looking for the times, amen, we laid ourselves on the potter's wheel. Amen. Do you know, friend, the only way a man can ever come to God is broken and empty. The only way a man will ever come in the presence of God is broken and empty. He has to empty himself at the cross of Calvary. He must empty himself, come broken. And I want to tell you, there's nothing wrong with coming in the presence of God broken. There's nothing wrong with coming crushed. Amen. May I tell you, friend, amen, Jesus said it'd be better that this rock, that men are to fall upon that rock, than to have that rock fall on them. I'll tell you, it's better to crush yourself. It's better to come broken than to have him break you. It's better to come broken and crushed to the potter's wheel. It's much better to be broken that God can mold you and make you. There are young preachers on the field today that are trying to be like Brother So-and-so. Their preaching style, their messages, everything they do exudes their idol, if you will. Oh, we don't like that term, for that brings to mind a pagan gods. Oh, but yes, men have idols. Young preachers, if they're not careful, will have idols. And there's nothing wrong with looking up to the elders, for the Bible tells the elder to teach the younger. Amen, my brother, if it's told in the right spirit, he'll not say, "Follow me." He'll say, "Follow me only as I follow Christ." If you see me getting out of the way, you're not to follow the steps that I take. Amen, but they come to camp meetings, and they preach the messages over and over again. They don't come broken and empty to God. May I tell you, friend, amen, the only one that we're to be like is Jesus Christ himself. Oh yeah, it takes a lot of work. Amen, we have to crush ourselves. We have to fall prostrate. Amen, we have to empty these vessels of everything that God might fill it. You know, everyone here tonight, if you're saved, if you're here, you came broken. You were broken. You were worthless. Spiritually worthless. Oh, we don't like that. People, you know, we have self-esteem is good if it's in the right attitude, right spirit, and the right context. But it seems to me that self-worth is getting a hold. Amen. Even in our public school systems, we've heard the term, amen, that a child's not wrong. It's only how he perceives right and wrong. Amen. That puts him in the hands of God, does it not? Amen. But may I tell you, amen, that when we come to the Lord, we must come broken.
I kept thinking it was the Spirit of God that dealt with me on this message. And I thought, well, this is a fine place to preach it. Amen, Brother Mike Nichols Church. Amen, you know, this is going to be a great place. I'm going to get up there and I'm going to feel already unworthy and unqualified to stand. But I'm here to tell somebody tonight, right here in this church, it's all right to be broken. It's all right to feel the way you feel. Amen, all you got to do is come to Jesus. I don't care if you save the lost. You can come to Him broken. You can come broken. And He'll put it all back together. Amen. He'll make it and mold it in the image of His Son. Help me, Jesus. The vessel on the potter's wheel was ruined. The prophet said it was marred. It was ruined. For whatever reason, it was marred and scarred. Now my wife used to get in and she'd tell me not to put her in the pulpit. She used to get into ceramics and I've seen some of the work she'd done very beautiful stuff. She made me a chess set one time from ceramic, a very since a form of pottery. And they'd fire it in the kiln, get it at a place, amen, that they could paint it and use it. And very beautiful stuff. And I'm telling you, if we're not careful, we'll get to looking at how beautiful God has made us. And we'll forget that we one time was that marred vessel. We was that vessel, amen, that was nothing more than a lump of clay on the potter's wheel. Not very pretty to look at. Amen, nothing but a pile of mush laying up on the potter's wheel. But God began to mold us and form us and make us in the image of His Son and to make us like Christ. Amen. From the inside out, that we might be able to work the work of God in a lost and a dying generation. Amen. Hear me tonight, friend. I'm telling you, if we ever get what we need from God, we'll come broken. We'll have to break ourselves. The Bible said, man, that it was marred. It was ruined in His hands. God, just a few verses down through the prophet Jeremiah says, am I not like the potter?
Come on.
Hear me what I'm saying. I'm not telling you that God works ill in us. What I'm fixing to tell you is that we may not always like the work of the potter. We may not always like His proddings and His promptings. As He begins to deal, I'm telling you, I heard someone say one time in a meeting as they were preaching that the Holy Ghost makes you feel bad. He don't just make folks feel good. He can make folks feel bad. He can make them feel guilty when they hadn't been praying. He can make them feel, amen, kind of destitute and alone. Amen, when they have failed to talk to Him and to walk with Him. And I want to tell you here tonight, friend, I got to thinking about when I got saved and how broken and useless I felt. Amen, a long-haired hippie boy. Amen, a Baptist youngin. Amen, but some reason God got a hold of my heart. Amen, an old-fashioned holiness altar with a white-headed preacher preaching. And God convicted my heart to see it and told me that I must turn around. And I want to tell you, I knew not how to live right. I didn't know what it was to walk holy. I had to throw myself on the potter's wheel. I was a broken vessel. I didn't feel like God had ever put it back together. I didn't feel like anybody could ever help me. I didn't feel like there was any hope. Amen. But may I tell you, friend, God likes it when it's broken. God likes it when it's empty. God likes it when He can take it and make it in His wheel. God loves it. There is scripture after scripture. Gideon comes to mind. Where God said, you got too many. Sometimes it may seem like God don't know what He's talking about. Doesn't look reasonable. May not match our form of reason. I guarantee you. No matter how God desires to do it, if we'll allow Him to work it. Hey, it ain't easy to stand up here and preach this. It ain't easy to stand up and think, you know, of how worthless I am. And I want to tell you, I could always remain worthless in the sight of humanity. Maybe God could take me and mold me and make me. I know the little song says, and our little children sing it, He's still working on me. Amen. I'm telling you, there's times that I have to go back to the potter's wheel. And I don't bring my wants and my desires. I know better than to bring them to God. Amen. May I tell you, friend, the Bible said, amen, that we seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. All these other things will be added unto us. We must first come to the potter's vessel. Amen. Potter's wheel is the vessel empty and broken in the sight of God. Amen. Hear me tonight. Amen. Friend, you may not feel worthy. You may not feel qualified. But I'm going to tell you right here, flat-footed, amen, that God desires you to be broken. God desires you to come to Him without our self-sufficiency, without our own righteousness, without our own holiness, and lay it at His altar that He might form a work in us. Man, broken and empty. Did He not break the disciples? Look at Peter. Self-sufficient. Boisterous. First one out of the boat when Jesus said, He said, Lord, bid me to come to you. First one to open his mouth and said, ain't nobody going to crucify you. We're not going to let them. First one to draw the sword when the Roman centurions gathered in the Garden of Gethsemane. First one to draw the sword and whack off the servant of the high priest's ear. Oh man, we look at him and we think, boy, Peter, he's just a guy the church needs. Oh, but just a little while later, a few hours later, man, when Jesus there at the supper room had told him, He said, before the cock crows, you're going to deny me three times. Amen. I imagine Peter thought in his mind, I'll never deny Him. I'll never deny Him. He's my Savior. He came into this world, Brother Jared, that I might have life and I might have it more abundantly. I'm going to tell you, sometimes I think God lets people stumble and rumble around to teach them that He's God and it's not we ourselves, and the glory that's in us is not from man, but it's from God above. We find Peter, great prophet, man of the book of Acts. We find him where? We find him as he's denied Jesus three times. He's denied Him three times. We find him just a little while later, somewhere weeping, broken. I'm going to tell you this. You can say what you want to, but this is my opinion. And I feel like it's biblically based. I believe God could not use Peter as he was. I don't believe that God could take the Peter that we know of stepping up out of the boat and walking on the water a few steps and then looking around and seeking, crying out to the Master. Oh, there's been some great preaching, amen, from those chapters. I believe, Brother Jerry, that not is not the one, Brother Micah, amen, that God could use. But that Peter we see as he's weeping, amen, after he's denied Christ, and he realized just how weak he was, and he realized just how insufficient he was, and he realized in his own mind how feeble everything that he had was, amen, that's the one. Amen. Hear me tonight. Amen, brother. It was not the physician that went and healed those that were not sick, but it was the lame, the blind, the halt. It was the broken. It was the crushed. It was the weak that received God's touch. It was not the religious crowd. It was that bunch of worthless, God denying apostles. Come on now. Hey, them are our preachers. Them are the ones that started this thing. Sure they are. But God had to get them to a place where they were marred. Listen to what the Bible said. The Bible said it was marred in the hands of the potter. That doesn't mean that potter made a mistake. Come on now. That doesn't mean it's that potter was working that wheel that his thumb slipped and he put a gouge where he didn't want one. Or he formed another lip on the vessel that he didn't want. No, the Bible said that it was marred. As he began to make it, he ruined it. Even that he might create in it another vessel. Even another vessel. Listen to me. Even I'm telling you, God couldn't take you like you was. Even God had to take you and mold you and make you. Even an image of his Son in the righteousness of Jesus, in the holiness of the Word. And God had to form us and make us and mold us, even on the potter's wheel, that his will might be done. Amen. Smart. God made a mistake. Oh, God didn't make no mistake. He intended to mar that vessel. You know, I don't believe a man can be saved with dry eyes. Because I think God takes his heart and just crushes it with conviction. It took me 5 weeks. It don't take everybody 5 weeks. It took me 5 weeks before I knew I was saved. And every service, I felt like God's ripping my heart out. Every service. I felt like he's just tearing me in two. I mean, I'd go on. Some folks would be shouting and I'd be crying. They'd be singing songs of heaven and I'd be boo-hooing. And I'm telling you. And that's just the way it was. Now, I'm not saying it's that way for everybody for 5 solid weeks. But I believe that God will take you and I believe God will break you. And no, it may not feel pleasant at the moment. Amen. But have you ever remember when Mama had that first baby? Amen. Mama had those pains and those sorrows. But all of a sudden that beautiful baby appears and Mom's smile pops on her face and the pain's not thought about anymore. And the joy of having that child in her arms, loving that precious child. Amen, brother. That's the way it is when a man gets saved. Amen. Some of those tears may be crying and boohooing. You may rack that body on an altar. Amen. But may I tell you, friend, when God gets through and God places you up on that potter's wheel and God begins to form you and make you, oh, what joy will flood your soul. Oh, what excitement. Oh, what joy. Amen. Will flood your soul. Have you ever prayed? Lord, why are you doing this? Or why is this happening? Maybe God didn't like to see the direction we was heading. Ain't never happened to you, well, and you closer than I ever been. Because I've been headed in some directions I thought was the will of God. God took that vessel and marred it in his hand and said, nope, you're not going that way. I had a friend went to Israel a few years ago, and I'd love to go. I'd love to go to Israel. These other guys wanting to go other places. I'd like to go to Israel. One time, just one time. Said he went to Israel and said he walked into a stable there, and there was a shepherd, there was a sheepfold. The shepherd had his sheep. Said he walked by a stall and there lay a lamb with a broken leg. And I'm sure you've heard this illustration before. And the man looked over at the sheep herder and he asked him through the interpreter, what happened? Did he fall off a ledge or whatever? And he said, no, he didn't fall off the ledge. He said, well, did he fall into a ravine and you pick him up? He said, no. He said, what he done? He began to go astray from the fold. And he started leading other sheep with him. And he said, I had to take him and break his leg. Amen. So he couldn't lead him astray anymore. I'm telling you, there's times I felt like I had a broke leg. There's times I felt like God's just grabbed me around the nape of the neck and shook me. I'm telling you, there's been times when I felt like, amen, I'm not trying to discourage anyone. I'm trying to tell you that we must be made. We must be formed. We must be broken before we can ever be Christ-like. We must be broken. We must be crushed before we can ever be like Him. Man, great shepherd of our soul tonight is more qualified. Listen,
We've got a pastor. And we think we elect him. God's the one put him here. I might say it. Can I say that again? I said, we think we elect him, but it's God that put him here. I've always wanted to say that. And God may use that shepherd. Amen. That porter. Man, to kind of tweak us a little bit. We call it tweaking in the electronic field. Where you tweak a drive. Some folks call it balancing. Where you tweak a pot. Or, you know, kind of just fine-tune things. That's what God does. Amen. And that's God's job. It isn't my job to tweak Brother Mike Nichols' life. It's not my job to come in here and try to tweak his church up for him. Amen. That's not my job. That's pastor's job. I'm just here to let us know. Amen, friend, that when we come broken before God, amen, brother, he can't do nothing but fill us. When we come broken and empty before him, amen, what more could he do but fill us and to make us in his image? I'm telling you, Jesus said him that come of a broken and a contrite spirit, he didn't know why he's turned away. Brother, that doesn't mean just a lost man. That means one of his children. And get up broken and contrite and make their way to the altar. And God will know why turn us away. There's a misconception among us. And we think sometimes that scriptures are just for sinners. I told the pastor I was going to say this, so I'm going to go ahead and say it. Jesus said in one place, I believe it's Matthew chapter 12. He said, come unto me all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest.
Right.
I don't believe that's just to a sinner.
Come on, brother. Bless you, God.
You know, for us to tell a young convert we never get broken or hurt or disappointed. And I'm not talking about Jesus. I'm talking about living this Christian life. You're going to run across humanity as you live for Jesus. And you're going to be disappointed in some people you see. And there's going to be times that you come broken, weeping, because you don't understand how somebody can shout and speak in tongues and live the way they're living. Just don't make sense. Come on now. We come before him broken. Hey, I used to come crying a lot to the altar. I still like to. I still like to get in a place. And I don't know where you do much praying while you're weeping like that or not, but I just love to get to that place where I just weep before God. I mean, there's just something about it. Amen. That one that comes before God broken gets cleansed. Amen. I mean, there's just something about what God does in the Spirit as you lay there broken and prostrate and you empty yourself of all your problems and your cares and you lay them at the feet of Jesus and you cry out, Master, Master, oh, Potter, would you mold me? God, I got angry today for no reason. I got sharp with somebody. Lord, would you forgive me for my attitude? God, help me to have a right spirit. Broken and empty. I've got a couple of notes here. I hadn't done much reading off of them. I wrote a few things down. But I got to thinking those disciples had to be broken. You can never come to God whole. You can't do it. You have to be broken. You remember the woman with the issue of blood. Now, I hope this don't throw us off, but I'm going to tell you, Jesus don't mind being the last resort. Somebody said, hey, they're using God for a spare tire. Hey, did it ever occur to you when they put that wheel on, they may have to leave it on there? Oh, yeah, but I don't want to use God's no spare tire. Hey, I was on my last resort. I was just like the woman with the issue, but I had wasted my life. This woman, and I know she went to physicians in a physical sense, but I'm telling you, you could apply this spiritually. She went to a lot of preachers for a lot of help. She went a lot of places, a lot of churches.
Amen. From one shout to another, hoping to get that peace, hoping to get that joy, hoping to get that strength that she's seen everybody else have, and all the excitement they had, and all the joy they seen exude, and everything they just seen enjoy their religion. Amen. But may I tell you, she realized it was hopeless. It was vain. Amen. She'd never get the healing she needed until she came to the Master. And oh yeah, there'd have been some of them that looked at her, a frightful sight, had lost a lot of blood. Amen. Her pallor was very, very light. She probably, her eyes sunk in the back of her head. Amen. But she came to Jesus, brother, broken. She came to Jesus empty. It was nothing else left when she came to Him. Look what He did. He didn't even see her, but He felt as the healing went out. He looked around, asked who touched me. Come on, Lord, look at all these folks here. How are you asking that question for? All these people's been tasting. No. Somebody touched me. We sing a song that says, He touched me. But when's the last time you touched Him? Huh? Broken. Oh, as a boy told me one time, we was going to we was in Church of God. I hope you don't fall out with me about it. Several years back, got a good church back home. They still carry a good standard, good homeless folks, good people. Brother Vernon Fletcher, Brother Roberts may have talked to you about him. He's a good man. And there was a fella come to church there with me and my wife. And I know it was after. It was a girl that we had witnessed to. And it was an ex-girlfriend. And he was trying to get her back. And he was all in the world. He'd come to church and I'd talk to him about the Lord, and he'd see men crying and women crying, and he'd say, "How men don't cry." I said, "What do you mean men don't cry?" He said, "Men don't cry." He said, "It ain't manly for a man to cry." I said, "Man, you come to Jesus, you're going to have to come broken. Amen. If you get anything from God, you're going to have to come broken." And I'm going to tell you, just a few months later, I remember getting in that church service and I seen that young man in that altar, and I'm telling you, he was staining that altar with his tears. Even he was a weeping and a crying. I didn't go up to him and say, "What about now?" I knelt down right beside him because I knowed he was in a place that God would touch him. I knowed he was in a place that God would get a hold of his heart. I knowed he was in a place that the Spirit of the Lord would save his never dying soul. I'm going close. Broken. It was a young girl. Was in a sane asylum, locked up in a padded room in the basement of an insane asylum. There was a nurse that worked at a sane asylum that would go into that cell where that young girl was and sit and eat her lunch. This young girl. She'd try to offer food and the girl would turn it down. A broken shell of a child. Bitter. Sometimes she would fly in a rage. Other times she'd just stay docile and ignore and wouldn't even respond to anything. After a while, this nurse brought in some brownies one evening. And I ate a couple and offered it. The little girl didn't respond. And so she laid them at the door there and turned around and left. She come back the next evening. I noticed that the brownie plate was empty. And the young girl had a different look in her eye. And she responded to her. She began to talk with her. And this girl's name was Ann Sullivan, the lady that helped Helen Keller. And I thought, if God could take something so wild and broken to do the great work He done. Oh yes, Helen Keller professed to be a Christian. She sure did. To do such a work for the broken. Take and just paint on their heart hope. Place inside of them a desire. When there seems to be no hope and there is no help, they can come to Him in whatever state they're in. Oh yes. They can't, they won't remain that way, but they can come. Amen. As the old song says, just as I am, without one plea. But that thy blood was shed for me. Brother Jerry, I wouldn't have been welcome in holy churches like I was. Some of our elite churches wouldn't have given me the time of day. Oh, but some little South Georgia church. Amen. Preacher with a burden for souls. Amen. To see men come to know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. I'm telling you, I don't care how they walk in the door. Brother, when they get up off the altar, they'll change. I'm telling you, they'll change. When they come in there broken, and they come in broken and empty, they can come to the altar and be filled with the presence and the love and the joy of the Spirit of God. Things that we take for granted. The things that we ignore sometimes. Amen, brother. Those things that God gave us. Because we were broken. Someone said, hey, I'd worry about what they think if I cried so much. I'd more worry about what they think if I never cried. I want to weep. I want to be broken. Ripped up. Oh yeah, we put a lot of emphasis on new things. Did you ever seen these men? They take old, busted up cars. Decades old, some of them. Take them, bring them in the garage and begin a restoration process. Do you know that our Heavenly Father doesn't mind taking us up out of the junkyards? Pieces that are missing out of our lives, and He puts it back. He molds it and makes it in His image to fit His pattern. What is His pattern? His pattern is Jesus. We ain't supposed to just have it on the outside. We're supposed to have it on the inside. We ain't supposed to just look like saints. We're supposed to act like them. We ain't not just on Sunday morning either. Amen. Not just during revival time. Amen. But every day of the week, regardless of whether the brother's standing next to us or not, it doesn't matter if we're not with our sisters. Amen. God's expecting us. Amen. When He feels us and makes us, He wants us to walk like His Son, to talk like His Son. Amen. Brother, when we come to Christ, we can't come as us. We got to come as a born-again believer, washed in the blood of the Lamb, sanctified, filled with the Holy Ghost, and separated from the world. Broken and empty. I know this preachers could have done much better at this tonight than I. Sister Connie, would you play me a little something, please, ma'am? Broken. Broken. There was a woman had a very nice, I guess we call them doilies in South Georgia. I don't know what they call them here. My grandmother used to put them on the back of her sofa made from knitted stuff. You ladies may know what I'm talking about. I don't know much about it. There was a woman had one time and somehow it gotten severely stained with like grape juice or ink or something. Couldn't come off of it. She had a friend that could paint. She was beside herself, for this thing had been handed down from generations. And she didn't know what to do. She was upset. He took that doily from her and he said, let me have it for a few days. And he took it home with him. And he pinned that thing up on a canvas. And he began to paint it. Paint on it. And he drew a beautiful picture. A mosaic of some sort on that doily. And he brought that thing back to her. And she didn't even recognize it as she looked at it. She couldn't believe it was hers. That was stained and it had become worthless was now very beautiful. I'll tell you something. It don't matter how stained we come to Jesus Christ. Doesn't matter how dark our past is. When Jesus gets through with it, it's beautiful. That life gets transformed. It gets shaped. You know, I tell folks, man, you would never believe I used to have long hair. I got pictures my wife saved of my eyes so red from smoking dope and carrying on. Folks would say, not you, Bud Chuck. I can't hardly believe that. I say, hey, that's what Jesus can do. He can take that sinner, a thing that has been stained, that feels worthless, may be of no value to you and I. He can bring it to this altar. And when He gets through with it, it'll be of great value. He can turn lives, make them all brand new. He could mold them and change them. The truth was told, there's some here tonight. You'd be ashamed to tell some things you'd done before you got saved. Oh, but look at you now. You've been on the potter's wheel. And when He got through with you, He made you valuable. Would you stand all over the house? I don't know how you're feeling tonight. I don't know if you're in this house. If you're lost without God, you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. May I tell you, it doesn't matter the condition tonight. For everybody must come to Him broken. You must come broken and empty. Maybe you don't feel so worthy. Hey, none of us are really worthy if you want to get down to it. Jesus is worthy. He can make it all brand new. He can change it. Maybe you feel marred and scarred. Maybe you've been going through some things you feel like you don't know why. Hey, God may have you on that potter's wheel. Forming you. Making you like He wants you. This altar's open tonight if you want to pray. You want to meet us down here in this altar. If you have nothing to pray, hey, I got a son that's lost. How should you call his name? His name's David. He's lost tonight. He needs Jesus to change him. Are you in this house tonight? You don't know Jesus as your personal Savior. Maybe you've been through some things that you need. Just come broken. Come empty. Let Him do the filling. Let Him do the work tonight.